Right, so you know how sometimes you're totally fired up to reach a goal? Like you're all in, ready to conquer the world.
Oh, yeah, I've been there.
But then life happens and that initial excitement kind of fizzles out. You hit a wall and suddenly that goal seems
Miles
a
away.
million miles away. It's
Exactly.
like that burst of energy we get at the start of a new year, vowing to hit the gym every day. Then February rolls around.
Then the couch is calling your name.
It's like the universe is testing our commitment. But here's the thing. It doesn't have to be this constant uphill battle. We can actually learn to maintain that momentum. And that's exactly what we're diving into today.
Awesome. I'm ready.
So we're cracking open chapter 14 of Stephen Scott's book, Stop Sabotaging Your Best Life. He's been over 20 years helping people unlock their potential. So we're in good hands.
Yeah, he's the real deal.
And the cool thing about Scott's approach is that he doesn't just give us those rah-rah motivational speeches.
Right.
He actually gets into the nitty-gritty of how our brains work.
The science behind it all.
Exactly. And how to build systems that actually support us,
Yeah.
even when we hit those inevitable dips in motivation.
Because we all do. It's human nature.
So, chapter 14 is titled Maintaining Momentum. And right off the bat, Scott talks about something super relatable, that experience of starting strong with a goal, only to watch that initial excitement fizzle out. He calls this the law of diminishing intent.
Okay, I like that law of diminishing intent. It's catchy.
Right. It's so true, though. Have you ever noticed that in your own life where you're just like super gung-ho at the start and then.
All the time. I mean, think about New Year's resolutions. The gyms are packed in January. Then by February,
Back to business as usual.
pretty much, we revert back to our old habits.
But Scott doesn't leave us hanging. He gives us some seriously practical strategies to combat that diminishing intent. One that really stood out to me was the idea of breaking down those massive, sometimes intimidating goals into smaller bite-sized milestones.
That's a classic productivity tip, but it's so effective.
It is. And Scott explains why it works. He talks about how our brains are wired to crave those little hits of dopamine, that feel-good chemical we get when we accomplish something.
So by setting those short-term milestones, we're basically giving our brains a steady stream of dopamine.
Exactly. It's like we're hacking our own brain chemistry for success.
I love that brain hacks for the win.
And speaking of those mini victories, Scott is a huge advocate for celebrating them, no matter how small.
Yeah, celebration is key.
He even challenges us to ask ourselves, what small win can I celebrate today?
I like that. It makes you stop and appreciate the little things.
Exactly. Like maybe you finally cleaned out your inbox, or you cooked a healthy meal instead of ordering takeout.
Hey, those are big wins.
They are. It's all about recognizing and reinforcing those positive choices, right?
It is. By acknowledging our wins, no matter how small, we're strengthening those neural pathways in our brain that are associated with positive feelings and productive actions.
So it's like telling our brains, hey, this feels good. Let's do more of this.
Exactly. Positive reinforcement at its finest.
Okay, so another strategy Scott digs into is the power of creating routines that support our goals.
Our routines, the backbone of productivity.
Right. And he goes beyond just scheduling in time for a specific project. He talks about incorporating things like daily self-care practices into our routines as well. It's like weaving those good habits into the fabric of our day.
I like that analogy, weaving good habits into the fabric of our day.
So it's not just about fitting it all in, it's about making those healthy choices an integral part of our lives.
Makes sense. And what's cool is that Scott recognizes that everyone's different. There's no one-size-fits-all routine for success. So he encourages us to experiment and find what works best for us.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's such an important point. What works for one person might not work for another.
So maybe it's setting aside a specific time each day to work on a creative project, or incorporating a morning meditation practice, or even something as simple as prepping healthy meals on Sundays to make those healthy choices easier during the week.
It's about taking that time to really analyze your own life and figure out what habits and routines will actually help you stay consistent.
And what will make you feel good? Because let's be honest, if it feels like a chore, you're less likely to stick with it.
So true. It has to be sustainable.
Absolutely. And that's where things get really interesting, because even with the best intentions and routines, life happens, right?
Oh, yeah. Life definitely has a way of throwing curveballs.
Unexpected challenges pop up, and we might find ourselves veering off course.
And that's when it's so easy to get discouraged. Like, ugh, I'm a failure. I'll never reach my
It's
goals.
that inner critic rearing its ugly head.
But Scott throws us a bit of a curveball here. He actually encourages us to regularly reevaluate our progress and adjust our approach as needed.
Wait, so he's saying it's okay to change course?
Yes. He reminds us that change is a dynamic process, and clinging to a rigid plan that's not working can actually lead to frustration and discouragement.
That's so refreshing, because we often feel like we have to stick to the plan no matter what.
But sometimes the plan needs to be tweaked.
Exactly. And Scott sees that flexibility as a strength, not a weakness.
So if you're hitting a wall with a particular strategy,
yeah,
don't beat yourself up about it. Take a step back, reassess, and try a different approach.
It's about being open to learning and growing throughout the process, not just focused on reaching that end goal.
Exactly. And speaking of the journey, Scott gets really passionate when he talks about the importance of remembering our why, that deep-seated reason that drives us, that core purpose behind our goals.
It's like our North Star guiding us through the ups and downs.
I love that analogy.
Yeah.
So what are some practical ways to stay connected to our why when things get tough?
Mm-hmm.
Because let's be real, motivation can be fleeting.
Oh, for sure. Scott suggests creating a visual reminder of your why, like a vision board or a written statement that you can refer to when your motivation dips.
I love the idea of a vision board. It's like a tangible representation of your dreams.
And it's a great way to keep those dreams top of mind. When you see it every day, it reinforces your commitment.
And Scott also emphasizes the power of surrounding yourself with people who support your goals and who can offer encouragement and accountability.
Your own personal cheer squad.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sometimes just having someone to talk to bounce ideas off of, or to remind us why we started in the first place, can make all the difference in the world.
It's like having a built-in support system to help you stay on track.
Okay, but here's the thing. Maintaining momentum isn't about pushing ourselves to the point of exhaustion.
Right. It's not about burning ourselves out.
Scott actually dedicates a whole section to the importance of rest and self-care.
Music to my ears.
He sees them as essential components of sustaining momentum, not as indulgences or signs of weakness.
It's about recognizing that we can't pour from an empty cup. If we're constantly running on fumes, we're more likely to crash and burn.
So true. So it's about finding that sweet spot between pushing forward and prioritizing our well-being. It's about recognizing that rest and self-care are actually investments in our long-term success.
Absolutely. When we take care of ourselves, we're better equipped to handle the challenges that come our way.
This has been so insightful already, and I think it's a great point to pause and reflect for a moment.
I agree. What are your thoughts so far on this whole momentum thing? Anything particularly resonating with you?
I'm really struck by how Scott seamlessly blends practical strategies with a deeper understanding of human psychology.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't just tell us what to do. He explains why it works.
Absolutely. And that makes the whole process feel less daunting, more approachable, and even, dare I say, enjoyable.
I think that's key. It's not about forcing ourselves to do things we hate. It's about finding ways to make the journey itself enjoyable.
It's about creating a lifestyle that supports our goals and our well-being.
So we've covered a lot of ground in this first part of our deep dive. We've explored Stephen Scott's insights on the law of diminishing intent, the importance of breaking down goals, celebrating wins, and creating supportive routines. But we're just getting started. Stay tuned for part two, where we'll delve even deeper into Scott's strategies for maintaining momentum and creating a life that truly lights us up.
Can't wait. Let's do it. So, you know, we've been talking about all the positive stuff, right? Celebrating wins, building routines, staying flexible.
Right, the fun stuff.
But let's be real. The journey of personal growth isn't always sunshine and rainbows.
No, definitely not. There are bumps in the road, for sure.
So what happens when we hit those inevitable roadblocks, those setbacks that make us question everything?
Yeah, those are tough. How does Scott suggest we navigate those challenging moments?
Well, he tackles this head on in Chapter 15, Overcoming Setbacks and Challenges. And his advice is gold.
Okay, I'm all ears.
Instead of viewing setbacks as failures, he encourages us to see them as valuable learning opportunities.
That's a different way of looking at it.
It is. It's a total reframe. It's like those moments are actually gifts in disguise.
Okay, I can see that. When something doesn't go according to plan, it forces us to pause, reflect, adjust our approach.
Exactly. It might even reveal a blind spot we weren't aware of before, something we need to work on.
So instead of throwing in the towel when we hit a snag, we should be asking ourselves, what can I learn from this?
Exactly. It's about adopting a growth mindset, that belief that we can learn and improve through challenges.
And you know, it's interesting. We talked about the science of motivation earlier. Well, setbacks can actually be a powerful source of motivation, too.
Oh, absolutely. Think about it. When we overcome a challenge, we prove to ourselves that we're capable of more than we thought.
It's like leveling up in a video game.
Exactly. And that sense of accomplishment fuels our motivation to keep pushing forward even when things get tough.
Okay, but let's be honest. Sometimes those setbacks can feel like major defeats.
For sure. But Scott reminds us that real change takes time. It's not always a linear progression. There will be ups and downs, twists and turns along the way.
So patience is key.
Absolutely. It's easy to get caught up in the hustle culture and expect overnight results. But that's not realistic.
And that's when that self-criticism can creep in.
Which is why self-compassion is so important. We need to be kind to ourselves throughout the process.
So acknowledge that we're doing our best and celebrate even the smallest steps forward.
Exactly. Scott actually gives a great example in the book. He talks about a client who was trying to overcome a fear of public speaking.
Oh, wow. That's a big one.
Right. So instead of aiming to deliver a TED Talk right away, they started with something much smaller, volunteering to give a brief presentation at a local community meeting.
Baby steps.
Exactly. And that small step, that willingness to face their fear in a manageable way, built their confidence and propelled them forward on their journey.
So it's all about those incremental steps, those small wins that add up over time.
Exactly. And when those moments of doubt creep in, because they happen to all of us, Scott offers another powerful strategy. Reconnect with your why.
Ah, yes, our why. It's easy to lose sight of it when we're in the thick of things.
It is, but it's our North Star guiding us back to our true purpose. So when you're feeling discouraged or tempted to throw in the towel, take a moment to remind yourself why this goal matters to you in the first place.
What will achieving it allow you to do or become? How will it impact your life or the lives of others?
Those are powerful questions. And sometimes just answering those questions can reignite that spark of motivation.
Now, we've talked a lot about individual effort, but what about the role of other people, this whole momentum thing?
That's a great question, because we don't exist in a vacuum, right?
Exactly. It's easy to get so focused on our own goals that we forget about the power of connection.
And that's where Scott's insights on relationships come in. In Chapter 16, Building and Nurturing Positive Relationships, he highlights how the people we surround ourselves with can make all the difference in our growth journey.
So it's not just about self-reliance. We need a support system, too.
Absolutely. Scott emphasizes surrounding ourselves with individuals who uplift us, who share our values, and who inspire us to be our best selves.
It's like creating a personal board of advisors, a team of cheerleaders who believe in us and who are there to support us through thick and thin.
Exactly. And on the flip side, he also talks about the importance of setting healthy boundaries with people who drain our energy or who don't align with our goals.
That's interesting. We often talk about setting boundaries in romantic relationships or with family members, but I've never really considered it in the context of personal growth.
It's an important distinction, because those relationships can impact our growth just as much as any other.
So setting healthy boundaries is essential for protecting our time, energy, and well-being.
It allows us to focus on what truly matters and to create space for the relationships that support our growth.
So how do we make sure the relationships in our lives are actually supporting our growth? How do we cultivate those positive connections?
Scott suggests that we be intentional about the connections we cultivate. Seek out relationships with people who encourage our growth, who challenge us in a positive way, and who hold us accountable.
So it's about choosing to spend time with people who lift us up rather than drag us down.
Exactly. And remember, it's not about cutting people out of our lives entirely. It's about being mindful of how we spend our time and who we give our energy to.
Now, this next part might sound a little woo-woo, but stay with me. Scott gets into the importance of gratitude and positivity in Chapter 17.
Okay, I'm intrigued. It's easy to talk about being grateful and positive, but how do we actually make it a habit, especially when life gets stressful?
That's the million-dollar question.
Right. So Scott recommends a daily gratitude practice. He suggests starting or ending each day by reflecting on three things you're grateful for. It could be something as simple as a warm cup of coffee, a beautiful sunset, or a kind gesture from a stranger.
It sounds so simple. Do you think it actually works?
You know, it's one of those things that seems too good to be true, but countless studies have shown the profound impact of gratitude on happiness and well-being.
So by consciously focusing on what we're grateful for, we're essentially rewiring our brains to see the good in our lives.
Exactly. It's like we're training our minds to focus on the positive instead of getting bogged down by the negative.
And it's not just about keeping a gratitude journal, right? Scott also talks about expressing appreciation to others.
Yes. It's one thing to feel grateful internally, but when we express that gratitude to others, it creates a ripple effect of positivity.
It strengthens our relationships, deepens our connection, and fosters a sense of belonging.
Exactly. And you know what else Scott suggests?
What's that?
Reframing challenges with gratitude.
Wait, what? How do you do that?
It's about finding the silver lining in difficult situations.
Okay, so when we face difficulties, it's natural to focus on the negative aspects.
Okay.
But when we make an effort to find the lessons learned or the opportunities that might arise from the challenge, we shift our perspective and create a more positive outlook.
Exactly. It's like that saying, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, but with a dose of gratitude mixed in.
I love that. It's about acknowledging that challenges are an inevitable part of life, but choosing to see them as opportunities for growth and resilience.
And when we approach challenges with that attitude, it can actually fuel our momentum.
This conversation has been so insightful. I'm already starting to see momentum not just as a means to an end, but as a way of living, a way of approaching each day with intention and a positive outlook.
That's beautiful. And I think that's one of Scott's greatest gifts. He helps us see the interconnectedness of all these aspects of personal growth.
It's not just about setting goals and achieving them. It's about creating a life that is fulfilling, joyful, and meaningful.
And speaking of creating a meaningful life, that brings us to a really profound concept that Scott explores in Chapter 18, Leaving a Legacy.
Legacy. Now, that's a big word.
It is. When we think about legacy, we often think about something that happens after we're gone. But Scott's perspective is much broader.
So how does he define legacy?
He defines it as the sum of our actions, values, and how we choose to make a difference in the world while we're here. It's about living a life that matters, a life that leaves a positive mark on the world.
So it's not just about achieving fame or fortune or leaving behind material possessions.
It's about the impact we have on others and the contributions we make to the world around us.
Okay, so how do we build that kind of legacy?
Scott says it starts with defining the impact we want to have. What do we want to be remembered for? What values do we want to embody? What contributions do we want to make?
So it all starts with that vision, that clear sense of purpose.
Yes. And then he says we need to lead by example. It's not enough to just talk about our values. We need to live them to show the world what it looks like to walk the talk.
It's about authenticity, consistency, and making sure our actions align with our words.
And something else that really struck me about Scott's perspective on legacy is his emphasis on relationships.
He reminds us that a significant part of our legacy is the impact we have on the lives of others.
It's about investing in those relationships, showing up for the people we care about, and offering support and encouragement.
So it's not just about grand gestures or leaving behind material possessions. It's about the everyday acts of kindness, compassion, and love that we share with the people in our lives.
Absolutely. Those small, seemingly insignificant moments often have the greatest impact. And you know what else?
What?
Scott also challenges us to share our knowledge and wisdom with others.
It's about passing on what we've learned, mentoring others, sharing our stories, and contributing to the collective wisdom of humanity.
Exactly. It's about recognizing that our experiences, our insights, and our perspectives have value, and that by sharing them, we can help others learn, grow, and make their own unique contributions to the world.
All of this is incredibly inspiring, but I have to admit, it also feels a bit daunting. How do we even begin to think about creating a lasting legacy while juggling all the demands of everyday life?
That's where Scott's wisdom really shines. He reminds us that building a legacy isn't about some grand heroic effort. It's about making conscious choices each day that align with our values, our purpose, and the impact we want to have on the world.
So it's about those small, intentional actions, those everyday moments that add up over time to create something truly meaningful.
Exactly. It's about living a life that is true to ourselves, a life that reflects our values, and a life that makes a positive difference in the world one step at a time.
I love that perspective. It's so empowering. It makes legacy feel attainable.
Exactly. And that brings us to the final chapter of Scott's book, Sustaining Fulfillment and Joy.
Okay, so we've talked about setting goals, maintaining momentum, overcoming setbacks, and even leaving a legacy. But what about finding that deep sense of joy and fulfillment in our everyday lives?
That's the ultimate goal, right?
It is.
Yeah.
So what are Scott's secrets for creating a life filled with joy and fulfillment?
Well, first and foremost, he emphasizes the power of daily gratitude. We've already touched on this, but it's worth reiterating. When we focus on what we're grateful for, we're training our brains to see the good, to appreciate the little things, and to feel more content with what we have. So we were talking about gratitude.
Right, gratitude and how it can shift our perspective.
Exactly. When we focus on what we're grateful for, we're training our brains to see the good, to appreciate the little things, and to feel more content with what we have.
It's like shifting our focus from what we lack to what we already have.
Exactly. And it's not just about feeling grateful internally. It's about expressing that gratitude to others.
Oh, acknowledging the people in our lives who make a difference.
Yes. Letting them know how much we appreciate them.
Creates those positive connections and strengthens our relationships.
Now, another key to sustaining fulfillment, according to Scott, is engaging in meaningful activities.
So doing things that light us up, that we're passionate about.
Exactly. He reminds us that true joy comes from pursuing our passions, spending our time in ways that feel aligned with our values and interests.
It's about making time for the things that bring us joy, whether it's spending time in nature, creating art, connecting with loved ones, or pursuing a hobby that ignites our passion.
It's about making sure our actions align with our values. And that ties into another important aspect of fulfillment, staying connected to our purpose.
Ah, yes, our purpose, that driving force behind everything we do.
Exactly. We talked about this in the context of maintaining momentum, but it's also crucial for sustaining long-term fulfillment.
It gives our lives meaning and direction.
Exactly. And when we're living in alignment with our purpose, even the mundane tasks of everyday life can feel more meaningful.
It's like we're tapping into a deeper source of energy.
And inspiration.
That helps us navigate the ups and downs of life.
You know something else Scott talks about that I find really interesting?
What's that?
Cultivating presence and mindfulness in our daily lives.
Being present in the moment, savoring the little things.
Exactly. He emphasizes the power of fully experiencing our lives as they unfold.
So putting down our phones, silencing the mental chatter, and really connecting with the present moment.
It's about being here now,
yeah.
Not dwelling on the past or worrying about the future.
And I think that's so important in our fast-paced world.
It is. We're constantly bombarded with distractions, so taking those moments to just be present can be incredibly grounding.
Now, something else that resonated with me in this chapter is Scott's emphasis on finding a balance between work and play.
Oh, yes. That's huge. It's not all about work, work, work.
He reminds us that a fulfilling life includes relaxation, fun spontaneity.
It's about giving ourselves permission to rest, recharge, and engage in activities that bring us joy and laughter.
It's about finding that sweet spot between pursuing our goals and enjoying the journey along the way.
Exactly. And finally, Scott highlights the importance of giving back to others.
Ah, yes. Contributing to something larger than ourselves.
Exactly. He reminds us that when we use our talents and resources to make a positive impact on the world, we experience a deep sense of purpose and satisfaction.
It's about recognizing that we're all connected and that we can make a difference in the lives of others.
So Scott's message in this final chapter is that sustaining fulfillment is about creating a life that is balanced, purposeful, joyful, and connected to something larger than ourselves.
It's about making conscious choices each day that nourish our souls, bring us joy, and leave a positive impact on the world.
I think that's a beautiful way to sum it up.
And with that, we come to the end of our deep dive into Stephen Scott's book, Stop Sabotaging Your Best Life.
It's been quite a journey.
It has. And I feel like we've just scratched the surface.
There's so much wisdom packed into this book.
But I think Scott would agree that the real work begins now.
It's about taking these insights and applying them to our own lives.
Experimenting with different strategies, finding what works for us.
And continuing to evolve and grow.
So as we wrap up this episode, what final thoughts would you like to leave our listeners with?
I would say remember that progress isn't always linear. There will be ups and downs, twists and turns along the way.
But it's about showing up consistently, embracing the journey, and trusting the process.
And most importantly, finding joy in the process of becoming the best versions of ourselves.
Well said. It's been an inspiring deep dive, and I'm feeling energized and ready to take action.
Me too. And I hope our listeners are feeling the same way.
If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe and share it with your friends. Until next time, keep those momentum fires burning.